the snowflakes fall as winter calls, and time just seems to fly.
Friends, I've been shooting and hunting with CVA muzzleloaders a long time. They are, in my opinion, the best muzzleloaders on the market. But did you know CVA also makes a very fine line of centerfire rifles, built to last and super accurate? Been hunting with those for several years. Check them both out, the muzzleloaders and the centerfires, online at CVA.com. Folks, I want to introduce you to some good friends of mine at Dash for Cash Pawn Shop in Sigerville, Texas, located at 133 Hall Street. The phone number is 972-287-3121. Go by there and talk with Gary or Randy, the owner. They're great people. They've got some great prices. Again, that's the Dash for Cash Pawn Shop, Sigerville, Texas, 972-287-3121. Well, folks, we are back with Mr. Matt Burgess, and we're talking about polar bear hunting. I mean, this is something that fascinating to me, something I know next to nothing about other than what I've learned talking to Matt. But the camping setup up there, Matt, once you get, you know, you're with Inuit people, thank goodness.
Right.
They live there. So once you make the 150-mile run with a convoy, I guess, of snowmobiles, do you set up, I guess you set up a base camp?
Yeah, really, it's just camping along the way. So they'll set up a few ice huts. They're really high-quality tents that you get up off the ground a little bit. They'll run generators with some heat. I mean, they're comfortable. I mean, you're still on the ice, but it's pretty comfortable. All in all, we're camping along the way. You're not going to make 100. Like I was telling you earlier, in Alaska, we could do 150 miles a day pretty easy. Up there, you're camping along the way. There might be days you're only getting in 50 miles. Just depends on the conditions of the ice you're crossing and how slow it is to go. But yeah, we set up camp on the ice, cook up. We had a variety of different foods. You know, we had the traditional stuff from the grocery store, but, you know, we also sampled caribou, ring seal. And then, of course, after we harvested our bear, we lived on polar bear on the way back. It was delicious.
Oh, I bet. Well, excuse me. Backstrap of polar bear. Big steak, you grill the steaks, and so polar bear pretty tasty, right?
Right. Yeah, I was trying to explain to them how I would cook it, and they just kind of looked at me, and they just scoop up some glacier ice and melt it, and a little bit of soup mix, salt and pepper, and it gets boiled. And I said, "You guys don't have barbecue grills," and they said, "No."
You were wanting to put that over some coals, weren't you? You know, or some.
I was, yeah.
Sear it up. You were ready to sear some mammal flesh, like the old coneheads used to say. You remember that?
Exactly. Yes.
Well,
yes.
But anyway, I bet it was good though. More you or I would look at that more like a soup or something, probably. You know, but I bet it was good.
It was delicious.
So you camped along the way. You had to, because of that jagged ice. You couldn't just hammer down and go 150 miles. You had to work your way. Being an old surveyor, which I am, I spent a lot of years surveying. I guess they're using navigating. Are they following a route, or are they just kind of looking at the ice and going around the rough spots? You know,
there's no navigation. There's no way to communicate between groups. And at one point, I mean, I'm with one of the guys, and then we've got another guy, couple guys together, and we kind of split up, and I start getting a little bit nervous. I'm like, I can't see those guys anymore.
Yeah.
And we got down to this one area, and I said, and he stops, and I said, what are we doing? He goes, well, we were supposed to meet here. And I thought, oh my, things start going through your head like, oh, great.
Yeah.
Now we're in survival mode. Uh-huh. No, he just laughed, and we, we kept going, and then all of a sudden I look over, and off in the distance I could see the sleds, the whole sled caravan coming along. And I realized, kind of thinking about it, it's kind of like coming to Alaska and hunting with me. I pretty much know where we're going. I don't need to navigate, mm-hmm. really. And they don't either. They've been doing this again for 4,000 plus years. I mean, yeah. This is generational families. And so they just kind of stay in the, you know, you're on the ice, but you're between mountains. So I started thinking about it. I go, why was I nervous about this? You couldn't really get lost. I mean, you would end up following the path back, or you would, mm-hmm. you know, you're in the valley. So it's, I realized at that moment, there was a moment there, Luke, where I'm like, oh, we're going to have a problem here. But that they were not concerned about it at all.
That's amazing. Yeah. Were there, you said mountains. I mean, could you see a distant mountain up there?
Oh, we were between mountains. Yeah. Oh. No, their mountains are there. I mean, they're not real tall, but yeah. They're definitely mountains along the water there. I mean, you're in a bay basically between Greenland and Canada, mm-hmm. and you've got these mountain ranges. And I think you could go back channels and get lost,
yeah.
messing around. But in the main channel, you know, it's. I mean, looking at a map, once you realize it, being out there, it's overwhelming. It's a big world out there.
But it's amazing to me that they're, you know, that they can do that. You've right. heard of people. I've got a pretty good built-in GPS in a sense, you know, of going back to where I came from, that type of deal, mm-hmm. in the woods. Pretty good. Yeah. I've been with people with better, but up there on that barren ice, I mean, I can see how I would get probably really, hey, wait a minute, how do we get out of here? But
right.
they know. And if there were any GPS to be used up there, I would certainly be trying to look at some coordinates somewhere. But that's amazing. A trip like that, it's something else. So what kind of rifle? I would assume you need a pretty good caliber to down a polar bear. You'd have to have, right?
Well, I got to tell you, Luke, that is the learning that the misrepresentation of what I thought. They'll use a very small caliber. All the Inuits, they shoot like 243s, 22 250s, and you're gonna kill it. You're gonna harvest a polar bear with this. Oh yeah. Yeah, they drop easy. And I realized their hide is not the fur's thick, but the hide is not that thick. And I really don't know why that is, but they are not hard. You get a round in a polar bear, it's gonna drop.
Is that right?
I mean, surprisingly, they're not difficult as you would think. They're not I would not even put them in the same class as a brown bear.
I'll be.
They're, and I don't know, I need to look into that of the why behind that, but they kind of laughed at me. I said, you want a, you know, 375 H&H?
Yeah, that's
H
what I think, yeah.
No, 243 would knock them down.
And all the writing that we hear about with a 243 or a Creedmoor, you know, oh, they're so right. light, too light for even 200-pound white-tailed deer, too light of caliber. You go up there and take the same rifle and kill a whatever 100-pound polar right. bear. And you got to do some of the, kind of take the lead on the skinning. Now, folks, I want to tell you, Matt's sons have a company called Dispatch Knives. Now, I've got a question for you coming up here, Matt, but I've got one of those knives, and I've had a chance to do is skin a couple of hogs with it, which it's got a, yeah, it's a skinning machine. Did you use a dispatch knife to skin that bear? I know you did.
I did. I was really excited about it too. I asked the Inuits, I said, you mind if I kind of take lead on this? And I just came off of Alaska and, yeah. and you know, so I was feeling pretty good with the knife
yeah.
and it was just neat. Did the five cuts and then went through and started skinning, and they kind of, you know, we talked about how and they took some tips off of me. I took some tips yeah. off of them. It was a neat moment, but yeah, I got to use the dispatch knives that my boys sell. And It just sailed right through it. I was really impressed with it. I was pleased. I was smiling while I was doing it. And I'm going to tell you, Luke, skinning a polar bear, it's a privilege. But when you take those gloves off, you know how when it's a little cool morning, you might rest your hand on that meat a little bit just to warm your hand up. You got your hand. You got one hand in that bear at all times, staying warm while you're skinning. Pretty amazing.
About what would that bear have weighed? What do you think, roughly?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, they got to be somewhere around 1,000 pounds.
That's what I'm thinking. Bigger than an elk.
They're heavy.
Bigger than an elk.
Much bigger. Yeah, they're up there with they're definitely heavy animals. I'm gonna say that 900 to 1,000 pounds would be my guess.
Yeah, big rascals. Whoa. Well. So the meals, once you got your camps going up there, coming back, you ate boiled. Sound like you had boiled polar bear, but going up, you had just groceries, right? I mean, I assume.
No, they would still bust out ring seal and.
Yeah, break a little seal out on. Well, tell me about, we've got time, ring seal. What? I'm almost afraid to ask what they taste like, but are they pretty good? You know,
well, it's the blubber, it's the fat, the meat. I mean, they do eat the meat, but mainly between the whales and the ring seal, they're after the fat content. Yeah, and it's fine. I mean, it has its own flavor palette. You know, it's not something I would want my diet. You know, full on. I'd take a ribeye over that, but it was still really good.
Is it fat? Or in other words, it's fat, right?
It's fat. Yeah, it's blubber. Yep.
How do they cook it? Do they fry it or what?
No, boil.
Okay. I'm gonna care. Oh, okay, I don't see me going up to hunt those, but I probably have maybe some spam or something along the way.
I could see you, Luke, pulling out a bottle of. Cooking oil and going, boys, let me show you how we do it down here.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's what probably would happen. You know, can we take some canned pressure cooked wild venison or wild pork along and some stew that I make and pressure cook it? Matt, it's been a pleasure having you talk about this. And I know a lot of our people listening, I would dare say it would be a small percentage that are not like me and know very little about the polar bear, but that was an experience. Probably, I'm sure it was a hunt you'll never forget. So, let's plug those knives to get those dispatch knives, or to go hunting with you. You got all over the world. How do they connect everybody with you, man?
Well, if you want to get to my son's knives, they're dispatchhunts.com.
Okay.
You can go online there. You can order the knives. They're on most social media. I think they're on all social medias. They're not hard to find. And then we've got a catalog that you can go through and pick out the type of knife that you want for the specific hunt. If you have any questions, you can always send a message and we can help guide you to get the right knife for the hunt that you want to do.
Okay. Good deal. Well, Matt, I don't know what you've got. I guess this is the summer. You might be a little bit of you're making plans for your fall stuff, but I want to get you back. And anybody that's looking to hunting and fishing literally pretty much all over the globe, they can contact you, can't they? Through Dispatch Hunts. Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Dispatchhunts.com. Yep. We absolutely can help arrange any hunt or fishing or wing shooting adventure you want.
And folks, I met Matt. Tell you how I met him, through Stealth Vision, awesome optics that I use. Folks can go there too and learn about those long range. We use those long range shooting 1,200 yards with those Stealth Vision scopes, and I've got their binoculars and all that too. Check those out, Matt. Thank you, buddy, for being with us.
Thank you, Luke.
Friends, I hope you've enjoyed our show. You know, this is our 20th year to be doing Catfish Radio, and I enjoy doing it now probably more than I did when I first began. It's lots of fun every week. But I want to tell you about a destination, one of my favorite destinations, and it's the Choctaw Hunting Lodge. It's up in southeast Oklahoma, oh, maybe an hour north of Paris. I don't think it's that far, but it's an awesome place. You can go online to ChoctawHuntingLodge.com and check it out. Beautiful lodge there, trophy deer hunting on thousands of acres of Choctaw tribal land up there. It's just, if you ever go up there, you will return. A lot of eastern Turkey in that part of the country. And probably our closest destination for many Texans to have a real chance to kill an eastern turkey. So that's got that going on. Exotic hunting, hog hunting. Just a, if you're an outdoor person, you'd love a visit there at the Choctaw Hunting Lodge. Folks, we are out of time. Make sure and tune in next week and be safe in the outdoors.